You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
In a few minutes, I'm going to be chatting to Vuza and Zoe Mazula. They are going to be coming into the studio while we set them up. We're going to actually play one of their songs. Now, you wouldn't have heard one of their songs on Zone Radio before. They've been sent to us specially for this interview. So thank you, Derek Craig, for doing that and organizing it. And I'm going to play Devil Blues while we set up the studio for them.
The smoke has all cleared, and it's time to begin again. Feel the wisdom within you, and turn fruits from your pain, fruits from your pain.
Oh, that beautiful track is called Devil Blues, and it's done, excuse me, I'm going to lose my voice again tonight, Mazula. And I've got Vusa and Zoe Mazula sitting in the studio with me right now. We're going to chat to them about, first of all, we're going to introduce them to you, and then we're going to just have a nice little chat. So good evening, Zoe and Vusa.
Hello.
Welcome to Zone.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Nice to have you both here. And do you want to start with that song? It's absolutely beautiful. I mean, I'm a blues lover of notes. When did you write that? When did you record it?
We actually wrote it across from Zone Radio when you first started. We had a place and we wrote it in Komaki.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when we were your neighbors.
Vusa had the riff for quite a while. Usually Vusa comes up with the guitar lines. I'm not very good on guitar. Especially in front of other people.
Yeah.
So he usually comes up with the guitar melodies and riffs, and then he had been sitting with it for quite a while, and it wasn't forming into a song.
Yeah, I couldn't make the song come together as a whole song. So mm-hmm. I said to Zoe, look, do you want to just put a something to it? And she did. And it came out as Devil Blues.
And that was Devil Blues.
That's beautiful. It really is a lovely track. It's very nice to have your music at long last after all these years on our station.
We're a bit slow on the whole planet. Well, I think when you're an independent artist, it kind of takes a more organic route. But when you're independent artists that are not very good at the whole business promoting side, I'm fine at promoting other people.
Especially when it comes to social media and stuff. Honestly, we're just so bad at it.
One day we'll have a team that can help us with it, but
absolutely.
At the moment
you hold that dream, babes.
Yeah, I can see it. Offices and everything.
Yeah,
in
absolutely.
The forest.
Yeah, a staff of 54.
Oh gosh, no.
So when we first met you in Komaki, when you were living across the road from us, you guys owned a very famous nightclub in Long Street, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And for the life of me, I can't remember what it was called.
It was called Zula Soundbar.
There we go. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it was actually more live music, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then the clubbing thing happened after 1 o'clock at night.
And it was very, very popular. Most people were really sad when it closed down.
We were also.
Yeah, we were
kind of
glad.
I think we were the saddest.
Yeah, you'd put a lot of effort into it, and you'd just done a whole lot of reservations and all of that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Renovations.
Yeah, we had.
So many people have said to us after hearing parts of the story, you've got to write a book. So we've decided to. So I don't know how long that's going to take. Probably, hopefully, not as long as the album's taken to record. Do you know what's interesting is we've been trying to record in Zimbabwe while we've been staying there, and something kept blocking it. And it was almost like the songs that we wrote in Cape Town needed to be recorded in Cape Town. So it's nice because we don't have a set band. We collaborate with musicians wherever we go. Mm-hmm. We're not doing it for industry by design and by choice. We came out of the English music industry because of what it was and how it was run. And we came to South Africa.
Generally because of pure manipulation of artists, really. Mm. You know what I mean? Artists, you're not really your own individual being. You can't create as you see fit, you know. So
in the UK,
you're a product.
Kind of generally, you're
a product from start to finish. And I think it's like all artists have to come to a decision in their career. Are they going to go the commercial route? And that means signing and representation. And it means you will get all the top festivals and things like that. Mm. But it also means
a whole load
of other things.
Yeah,
and people go down different degrees. But basically, you have to be a Freemason at some stage, you know? And it wasn't something that we ever bargained on as a musician, you know. And when we started to find that out, we were like, no, thanks. Mm. So we left the English music scene, and we were really excited by South Africa because, I don't know, there was an honesty to the music. People weren't doing it to become rich and famous because they knew that wasn't really happening, you know. So it was just through necessity of creative
and to tell you honest truth, when we got here, we were really surprised by the amount of talent
that exists.
Just in Cape Town, let alone the rest of South Africa, you know what I mean? We were blown away. So when we opened Zula and we managed to get the number of bands that we managed
and
to get
good
in and
quality,
the quality of bands that we managed to get in, it was also a revelation for us. And also it helped us to help expand the music business, if you know what I mean. Because, I mean, we generally...
It was all original music,
and we genuinely did not know what to expect, you know. I mean, we did it kind of on a wing and a prayer, but...
especially at the time, a lot of people had bets on our place because they weren't charging to get in. And so a lot of artists were being ripped off and things like that at the time. And we came along and said, no, our business model, because we're musicians, is that they took the door and we take the bar. And we always, so each night that we ran an event, it was a relationship with somebody in the community.
Yeah.
So all the artists, you know, they did well. The ones that promoted it and they brought the crowd, they used it as an income that really platformed a lot of careers.
Sure.
And for us, it was lovely to sit back and watch artists form their talent over 10 years, you know.
And we need venues like that now again. I mean,
they're essential. Yeah. They're essential to independent artists.
Absolutely. And the most common complaint with most South African artists is that they are really struggling to find venues to perform.
There's a huge gap. There's a massive gap between represented artists that can be obviously put into stadiums because they get all of the exposure and the coverage and stuff. Or, you know, and just getting to that point. So, yeah, these independent venues, and it's usually whenever we're traveling, the best gigs are the backwater gigs where people would not normally want to travel with their music or think to travel, and you end up having the most gem gigs by people that are true music lovers. So it's not always in the big cities that you actually get the support the most. It's actually in the kind of more...
sort of rural
off the beaten track, and they really
appreciate the thing about big cities as well, and what people have to understand is that there's a whole thing that goes, it's not just about providing music, you've also got to provide the space, and in providing that space, there's a cost to it, you know. So, and every year you're paying a 10% generally increase in that cost, so you've got to also find that somewhere. So, I mean, a lot of the way we had our business model was really geared towards musicians making money, you know. So, and I'm not in this day and age, I think it's going to be a little bit more difficult to kind of maneuver the way we did, you know. I'm not sure, because we don't have a business anymore and we don't have to think about that kind of thing, but you know, that would be my thought.
Am I allowed to ask what went wrong, or do you rather not want to talk about it?
You know what? There was so many things that happened, you know. It wasn't just one thing. So
it was mainly a two-pronged attack, though. One was from the landlord.
But I actually reckon, I reckon you should read the book.
It's really interesting.
Really
a lot of it's
story.
To do with gangs as
It goes all over the place. And the thing is, if we watched it in a movie, people would say, you're like, oh, that's a like fanciful movie, that one going on. But it's actually what happened. And the reality is so much stranger than fiction. You know, so.
It's amazing what you take on in life, just wanting to open a live music space.
And because we were so green and so naive and young and what have you, we went in with our eyes wide open, like, wow, we can change the world, like kind of thing, you know what I mean?
And
the
world actually,
well, yeah, but the world also changed us. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
The world definitely changed us.
Yeah.
So how long have you been in South Africa then?
So we emigrated from England we got married here in 2004. And we emigrated later on that year.
Okay.
And we opened Zula in April 2005. And we ran it all the way through World Cup, which was a brilliant time.
Yeah.
And then we moved venues, and then, we ended it in 2014. And then we ran the Cape Farmhouse.
The Cape Farmhouse out in Scarborough.
We did that for four years.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, four seasons.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was great fun as well. And I mean, the difference about that as well is that it was twofold. One, love you, Rosie, but it wasn't our business, so we didn't have to deal with the nitty-gritty of that kind of stuff. So we were then free just to deal with the artists and the bands and booking and promoting and that kind of stuff. And secondly, it was a huge venue, so we could then get the cream of
Springbok New
of everything and then put them with up-and-coming bands, and it worked really well. So you had these young up-and-coming, really excited artists playing with the top bands in the country, like Freshly Grounds and Springbok New Girls of this world, and it just worked really well, and we had a blast doing it. I'm not going to lie to you,
it was
great fun,
because it wasn't like Zula, which was a machine. I mean, when we opened it, we looked at each other after the opening weekend and thought, oh my gosh, we've got to do this now every single week. You know, that's it, and it just didn't stop. It was relentless. Whereas with the Cape Farmhouse, it was two a month. and it was just through the summer seasons. Mm-hmm. And like Vusa says, we weren't responsible for the whole workload. We were just doing the bands. And the people that supported the music were great. And again, the local artists.
Yeah, the bands were great. You know, we had,
and again, that venue's no longer doing that as far as I know. So
And
people are
begging
for something like that to happen again.
Yeah,
so.
I think there's a brewery or something going on, but I don't think they're doing live music and stuff. The thing is, it's unfortunate about live music, and it seems to be wherever you go in, say, what do they call it, developed countries? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Suddenly there's all these rules and regulations and this and that and the other, and it's just getting harder and harder to have any kind of amplified sound.
Mm.
But it's a shame because it really is needed. I mean, I also heard in Camel Rock or something, they're also not doing live music.
No.
And we used to play there. And so each time we come back to the South, it's less and less places we can play. And we really noticed the competition from before lockdown. So we did the Cape Farmhouse for 4 years, and then we went on tour for a while just on the road. And we went to England and Wales and Zimbabwe. But when we came back after COVID and lockdown had hit, we noticed that people were booking 8 months in advance rather than a couple of months in advance.
Yeah.
And your big names are now back on your normal circuit, small venue. So it's changed a lot.
It has.
I mean, as a traveling artist, you can't just pick up a phone and say, hey, guys. I mean, luckily we've got relationships, but it's still, it's become a lot more difficult to do just the gigging circuit.
Yeah. Well, I know Jeremy Loops has lots of plans for this era because he started a Cape Open Air concert, which was a couple of weeks ago, I think it was.
Fantastic.
And he's looking for local artists and to promote them there. So
also a comic-y boy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, one major lineup and then some other lesser known artists to come along. And he wants to make that into an annual event as well.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, yeah, it's happening, but it's, you know, not quickly enough for the musicians.
These things do take time, though.
Yeah,
you know,
they
but
do.
Once they're established, they're established.
Yeah.
And I mean, the thing is also consistency. If it can be, if it carries on consistently and people know that every time at this time of the year or this time of the month, this is going to happen, then it invariably it will build.
But, yeah.
You know, Mother City, and 9 months and all that kind of stuff. Mm. You know what I mean?
And I think now with the internet and stuff, I mean, it's very difficult to make money online through your online music sales.
Yes.
You have to do it live or through merchandise. But I think then it's quite nice for the artist to shape the industry, and they build the vibes. And like Jeremy Loops is doing, they create the festivals. And the Levelers did it in England, and they were an independent band. You can't even find them on Spotify. And they were very big in England, but they refused to go in the industry and do that kind of side of things. But they've built a festival and done alternative things, and they create the events that they play at. So there's always creative ways to make it work.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not like the good old days when you just sell records.
Although vinyl's making a bit of a comeback now.
It is,
it's making a comeback big time. I'm liking it.
I'm glad actually.
I can dig out those old ABBA tunes.
Bring back the healing frequencies.
Yeah.
And that's another thing of live music actually. In MP3s, we forget that we squash and condense the sound so much that the healing frequencies of the sound are taken out. And records is a lot more rounder and has more frequency range, but live you are really getting
the full
pure
benefit.
Sound music bath, you know. It's not just
warts
an entertaining night out. You've programmed all your cells with those frequencies of music, so it's a nice experience live.
Good. I don't want to run out of time, but I mean, you guys are doing some really interesting work at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you tell the listeners about that.
Which work?
Well, we've been called
about?
Into two different things actually since lockdown. One is food forestry, which Vusa can tell you a bit about.
Yeah.
He's kind of leading more the food forestry side of things. And I've been called more into healing. So I'm making products from the different rosemary and basil and stuff that we're growing, doing homeopathic and natural medicine, but and now working with horses.
Yeah, we both work with horses. Yeah, Zoe's amazing. She does kinesiology with horses and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And tapping into the horses. It's just really incredible to watch.
Horses are so intuitive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Vusa does acupressure and massage and
with the horses as well. And again, it's really, really cool.
I think a lot of people people think about horses always healing us and serving us, but I've really enjoyed working with them and serving them. I just never want it to end.
Also, horses want to be healed, you know, so if they've got an issue, then they want to release it. They don't want to hold on to it, you know. They're not going to go around wearing it like a jacket. So so it's really cool when you're
there and you see them giving
it releases or whatever it is. It's really cool.
And let's face it, as an animal, they give so much. It's nice that someone's giving back to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think people do really forget that they are. I mean, they're called beasts of burden, aren't they? You know, because they're carrying so much all the time.
It is
nice to get just release that burden of what they're feeling.
They're athletes, and people forget they get so much tension, and it doesn't take much to like release it. It can happen just in one stretch. But I'd really love to run courses to teach people how to massage and work with horses, because by you giving them a treatment, you come away and you
feel wonderful.
You feel wonderful.
You feel great.
You really do. And the trust
between where are you doing this?
So wherever we're called at the moment,
We're
in Bulawayo, we're based mainly. So we're in Cape Town for the whole of December. We go back in the first week of January. And so we'll do work wherever we're called here. And then we go back to Bulawayo, and we're working with Healing with Horses in Zimbabwe, which is a fabulous organization run by two ladies. And they work with disabled children and orphans and things like that, healing humans. But they had nobody helping them with all the horses that they got dumped. You know, because a lot of people donate horses to these organizations, but they usually got loads of vet problems or bills, and they don't want to have them. So then I've come in and done the healing with the horses and saved them a fortune. And it's just been a fantastic experience. They're my university at the moment.
That's great.
We're still doing music.
Also, a son gets to ride for free as well, so it's great.
Can swap lessons.
Lucky boy.
And then the food forestry is just, we got into it through necessity.
Yeah, the food forestry was just necessity. Well, when we go... Basically, we inherited some land because my father passed in 2019, so we went up to Zim to sort that out. And we got this land, and we just didn't know what to do with it. You know, you get this whole land. We're not farmers. We've never been farmers.
And
it'd been untouched, and the ground is terrible.
I mean,
the soil is absolutely awful. So
everything's broken.
Yeah, so we've had to really work hard at just fixing the soil. But as we were doing it, we're thinking, what do we grow? Strawberries? Do we grow? Everyone's growing like chamoli and cabbage and mealies. And we thought, you know, we don't even eat chamoli or cabbage and mealies, so well, we'll grow them. And then we just watched this thing about, I can't even remember his name now, but anyway, it will come to me, but about food forestry and about how working basically in lieu with nature. So you mimic nature's patterns so you've got seven layers of growth from underground all the way up to the creepers, like, and everything in between.
Fascinating.
So it's great. So now we've got all these trees going down and everything. The plan is...
There is a plan.
It's not just random. There's a plan that within about 5 years you'll be able to walk around the garden and just literally just pick stuff from wherever you want. You'll be able to pluck your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner, you know what I mean? So, and yeah, we'll have chickens out the back providing the manure and all. Yeah, so there is a plan, you know. it's taken a little bit, because we travel so much as well, the music, so it's really hard to...
Once we find a farm manager, it's hard to focus on that,
because it really is a full-time thing as well.
I was going to say, who's looking after it now while you're traveling?
Well...
We actually have a lady who was born in Zim, but she lived in South Africa for 45 years, and she wanted to go back for her birthday, so she's having our house and our pets.
Dogs and cats.
All our life issues for a while. It's been an adaptation in Zimbabwe, but the people are lovely. But it's lovely to come home.
I mean, it is a beautiful country.
But it's busy rebuilding after
A lot of things.
Terrible roads.
And we're going to probably have to do that soon here as well, I think, the way things are going.
Yeah.
I don't know. Also, leave and come back because you appreciate things a lot. I mean,
we love
your roads are amazing.
Honestly, you notice the difference coming over from Zim into you notice just from the road. You notice the difference. You know what I mean? There's no potholes to disappear down in South Africa, which is quite nice.
All right, so before we run out of time and you don't get to talk about what you're really here for, you're doing a tour while you're here, and I know you're at Cafe Roo on the 14th.
We are indeed, very much looking forward to that.
And it said full band, so who's in your band with you?
Eight brilliant musicians.
Yeah, we have an eight-piece band going on.
Wow.
Yeah, our drummer's actually come down from Zimbabwe, Mike Salter.
Fantastic drummer.
looking really forward to having him join the rest of the band. Yeah. The bass player, Duncan, we haven't actually played with yet, but
it's the first time. Cape Town, so local Cape Town musician, very talented.
All the others, like Derek Craig,
his percussion on this one, and then Phila Muller is going to be playing. He did the Sugar Man tours with Rodriguez, and he's been fantastic because he was like, get in the studio. And we have a bit of a block. We love live, but put us in a studio where it's all sectioned off and everything must be perfect, and something just goes wonky.
It's like I've never sung or played guitar before. Honestly,
it's really bad. So we don't suffer from live nerves anymore, but studio, yes. And so we want to record it like it was done in the 60s and the 70s, where it's recorded live as eight people making one sound.
Oh, wow.
And he's able to do that. So he's been brilliant putting us in the studio next week. So everyone has come down and come together for this one Cafe Rue gig. We're only playing one big band show while we're here. And I really appreciate everyone's support and tickets because they've been selling and we haven't been around, you know. Mm-hmm. And as musicians, when you go off and you're not current,
It becomes a little bit difficult. But we've got a lot of people around. Mainly, and I've got to say thank you so much to Derek Craig, because he is absolutely amazing.
He really helps us with promotion.
Yeah, and he works tirelessly, that man.
He's just incredible.
He does a lot for local music.
He does.
Yeah, and Alison Cadult as well. What she does for local music as well is just righteous. So, props, Alison.
Yeah, so Willem's putting us in the studio, and we'll get our tracks that we wrote in Cape Town finally recorded. They've been 4 years in the making of being ready to record, and then that's it. We can move on with our story, but we'll come back every sort of three or so months,
something like that. Yeah, especially because our boy is such a comic-y boy. Now he's just hooked up with all his mates in comic-y. Yes. We haven't seen him in like 3 or 4 days. You know, he's off skating, surfing, and what have you.
I've got a message here that's come through. Hazel says, please give the details of these guests, as I know many horses that could be helped, including my own. So, Hazel, we'll include the contact details in the podcast of this interview, and we'll do that right at the end. We are running out of time, unfortunately.
Oh, shame. I'm really enjoying this.
Yeah, it's fun. So what sort of music, apart from what we've just listened to, is that the kind of music people can look forward to on Thursday night?
Yeah. We're quite eclectic.
Yeah, we're very eclectic. I mean, we can get very funky as well. You know,
we have a bit of funky, bit of blues, a bit of gospel.
Yeah, a bit of soul,
I would say, and a little bit of reggae, a tiny touch, maybe one or two tunes with a bit of a, where's one?
Is there?
Are you two on the same stage?
Yeah, no, God, I totally forgot about that. Yeah, and some are we doing on Thursday?
Really old, like old blues as well, like old R&B.
Oh, sounds amazing.
Yeah, but it's great because we've got 100% creative freedom, you know, because we're not doing it for anyone else but ourselves, whatever we write.
So songs just pop up and we go, ooh, I like that.
And each song is very linked to a story in our life. We've got a new song called Dandelions and Elephants, and that's linked to an experience when we were in prison for 5 nights and we got banged
up abroad. In Zambia, we got banged up abroad,
Oh, dear.
It was great.
You don't know. Sometimes you say, TIA, this is Africa, and it works in your favor, and other times, no, you get held ransom, and you're like, okay. Good songs come out of it. And we're actually going back to record in the prison to do a fundraiser for the inmates. Yeah, we met some amazing people in that prison.
Okay.
Yeah, unbelievable stories. Mm. I think that was maybe why we were called in there.
I'm definitely going to have to get your book.
It would be crazy. I won't believe it myself while I'm reading
it. Sit down with a nice cup of tea.
I was sitting thinking whilst we were talking about what you guys are doing now with your lives and what happened way back. You know that saying, when one door closes, another opens?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
I think it's open for the better for you guys, because now you're doing what you really, really love.
Yeah.
Do you know what as well? When we actually, the last time that we closed our doors, or the last time the doors were closed to us, to our business, we'd been actually invited out to a gig, to a friend to play a gig. So we'd gone out with a PA, a small PA that we had, a guitar, and we had R100.
When we
turned up, the doors were locked. It was bolted and everything. So
the
we literally had
just taken everything in the court case.
Yeah, so we literally had a guitar, 100 rand and a PA, and that was the beginning of our new life. So we've moved on from then.
The message was quite
clear. So the message was really quite clear. You need to go play music together.
Go do music.
Yeah.
And yeah, hospitality was good, but no, not for me. Ooh, I commend anyone.
It was fun while it lasted, you know. But
it's hard work.
Very hard work.
And please remember that when you're going out and getting your cappuccinos and your meals and stuff like that, the restaurant industry, it really is such a difficult industry to be in.
No, absolutely, yeah. Mm. And and a lot of them are still trying to recover after COVID.
Absolutely, yeah.
I don't know how some have. I really don't. Yeah. I think a lot of them own the buildings they're in. Other than that, if you're a tenant,
you have to be creative, man.
Yeah.
And then the prize that we get after the 18 months lockdown is everything doubles in prize.
Exactly.
Aren't we lucky?
Yeah.
Gosh.
I was actually hoping that would happen.
I thought that too. That's just what humanity needs.
Nice.
A right big kick while we're down.
Well, I'm afraid our time is up. It's been so nice talking to you. Are there still tickets available for Thursday night?
There are tickets available on Quicket. Yeah, so you can
actually book your table. So you can actually go and have a look and book your table. But you know what? We had this last time because I found in Cape Town, especially after running events for 10 years, there's no rhyme or reason to it. And getting people to do pre-sale up front is just not a Cape Town thing.
No.
They're very much, let me see what I feel like on the day. And actually, if I wasn't running events, I'd respect it. I'm the same. But yeah, Cafe Rue a bit like, you know, obviously they have to sell a certain amount of tickets for their cost too. So last time when we played in April, it was like, oh no, and jiggy everyone around, and suddenly it was a sellout. So last time, and it was such a rainy night, so I was so pleased, because that's another thing, Cape Town people are solar powered. And I respect that
so
too.
Am I totally solar powered. It's cool, I understand.
But yeah, it was a lovely gig last time. Some magic happened on that stage.
It was amazing.
And now we've got the drummer
gig
coming down, Mike from Harare. I'm also really pleased to play with him.
Well, it sounds like an amazing show for people to look forward to. And I wish you loads of luck with
your whole tour.
Thank you very much.
Where are you going after Cape Town?
Zimbabwe?
No, we're going up to the wilderness. We go to wilderness first.
Wilderness, then Botswana,
and then
Zimbabwe.
Yeah, so one night only in Cape Town.
Yes, and then UK next year. We're doing an Ireland and Wales tour.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, I wish you both lots of luck. And, I don't think you need luck. You've just got so much talent going for you. You've got so much soul to give, both of you. And looking forward to that album and that book.
Thank you so much.
And cheers with
and
the radio.
Thank you so much for coming in. It was so nice to see you after all these years.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah,
it was
very cool.
And I'm going to play another one of your tracks. It's called Funk the Room.
Hey.
Thanks so much.
Okay. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you.
Bye. Fabulous. That's the Missoula. We've just been chatting to them and a track called Funk the Room. And I've got some contact details if you're wanting to get hold of them. They do have a website where you can go and view their everything that they do. It's Missoula, M-A-Z-U-L-A, music, all one word, .com. There's also an email address, missoulamusic@gmail.com. And you can also WhatsApp Zoe on +26 371 704 2187. So Hazel, if you want me to put that onto a WhatsApp for you, I will do so. But otherwise, if you're wanting to get hold of them, it will be on the podcast. So Richard will include those details there for them. What a lovely couple to chat to, and absolutely, they have overcome incredible difficulties. And I just think they've got so much to give to the world, and their music not being a small part of it at all.